Well, it's about time for me to actually take off for confessions. We're going to be hearing confessions for the CCD children, third through seventh grade. So I'll turn it over to our presenter tonight, Chase Unger. Chance Unger. I call him Chase all the time. Chance will forgive me because he's a great guy. He's a member of our parish. He'll explain who he is far better than I can. But one of the wonderful things he's done is started the Missionaries of the Holy Spirit in the Family, which you see has Holy Spirit in it and has family in it. So we'll see him again when he talks about the family later on and how those two really go together, just learning to live in the Holy Spirit and to help our families grow. It's a great little ministry in our diocese, up and coming. He's roped me into it, so I roped him into this in exchange. So thank you, Chance, and I'll hand over the mic.
And you guys can hear me okay? Is that good? Yeah. Talk louder. Yeah. Is this better? About like that? Louder. Louder. Okay. Okay. Thank you. That's great. Yeah. I have four kids at home. Usually we try and drop the volume down because everybody's really loud at home. So my tendency is, if we can keep things like, usually it's like, all right, kiddos, like use your inside voice. Or we're in the van, you don't have to scream, like you're like 3 feet away. So I'll try and keep my voice up high. I know a handful of you guys here, thanks for letting me come speak to you about the Holy Spirit and the church. I'll do a little bit of an introduction of myself. My name's Chance Unger. I've been a parishioner here at Martyrs, probably about 7 to 8 years or so. I'm married to my wife, Laura. We've been married for 9 years this past August, and we have four kids. So John Paul is 8 and a half. He was born in Omaha when I was still in physical therapy school. He was born during finals week, and I had to take a final about 4 hours after he was born. So life was crazy then. And then we moved to Lincoln while I was still in school, and that's when we became parishioners here at Martyrs. A few years after John Paul, we had James. He's five. He's got a great story that hopefully I'll get to share with you either tonight or at some point. He was born with a condition called Erb's palsy. It's just a nerve injury to the arm. And God just really worked through him and through our family in a really special way. Our daughter, her name's Maria. She's three. I don't know if anyone here, have you guys ever seen like those Sour Patch commercials where they're kind of awkward, but it's like first they're sour and then they're sweet. They'll do something, you know, really unfortunate, and then they'll like give you a hug or something. That's kind of like Maria. She's super spicy, but you've probably seen her in Mass. If you go to like 9:30, you'll see me take her out probably at least once every Mass. But she's a spitfire. And then we just had our son Joseph on September 1st. So he's about 6 weeks old. That's our family. My wife, stays at home, we work together with the nonprofit that we run called the Missionaries of the Holy Spirit and the Family. And then I also practice as a physical therapist full time pretty much right now. So that's a little bit about me. I also have been through RCIA. I've been Catholic for about 10 years, so I'm a convert. I came into the church in 2012. It was my senior year of college, and I had a lot of questions about the faith. And so one of the things that drew me into just RCIA was I had lots of questions that I just never found a satisfactory answer to. And what the beautiful thing was, at least for me in my journey to the church, was I had like this desire for truth and answers, but kind of in and through that, I fell in love with like the beauty and the goodness and all the things. And it caused me just to want to learn a lot more about the faith as I was coming into the church. And after I became Catholic, one of the things that I really drew an interest in was John Paul II's Theology of the Body. I actually get to teach that a little bit as well. That's just a bit about me. the apostolate that Laura and I we do together, I share it because it fits well with the topic of the Holy Spirit in the church tonight. Basically, what MHSF is, it's sort of like a mini seminary kind of for married couples who commit to two years going month by month, coming together over a meal and some sort of spiritual formation over a curriculum, and then spending an hour in adoration and confession once a month. Through that, there's just been a lot of beautiful things that have happened with married couples. And that's sort of a practical implication of what I'll get to teach you guys tonight. I get to teach you about the Holy Spirit, who, you know, he's like, he's the third person of the Trinity, and he can feel like kind of hard to grasp. Like, we know he's important, but we don't always know what he is or what he does or what to do with the Holy Spirit. It's easier to conceptualize God the Father. And it's obviously easy to conceptualize Jesus Christ because he came in a body, but the Holy Spirit can feel a lot more difficult to just grasp or understand, or sometimes to feel, it can feel kind of like, kooky. Like, it seems like there's always, you know, this, like, you know, like I hear about a Holy Spirit group or this kind of thing, and it can make people feel like, oh, what is that? Or does, you know, what does that mean? And so what I want to present to you guys is really just what the church teaches about the Holy Spirit, and how you can kind of even use like a litmus test in your own life and be able to say with more confidence, like, yeah, that was God. Like, that was God and the Holy Spirit. And that just makes more sense. So we'll get to go through that tonight. We'll get to go through a little bit about the church as well, and what our church teaches about herself. And I would tell you guys too, we'll try and keep consistent with your normal break, and come back. And if you guys do have questions, you know, at any time, feel free to raise your hand, or we can systemize it at the end and chat about it as well. Let's jump in. Did everyone get the handout? It looks like a handful of people had it. We'll go from kind of in order of the handout, but I won't just, I don't know. I don't really like reading through handouts. I feel like it's really boring. So they're for you to have as a resource. There's a lot of things from the Catechism of the Catholic Church. There's a handful of things that are they're commentary that are based on scripture, based on the Catechism. Just for context, it's hopefully just a resource that's helpful for you. So, who is the Holy Spirit? Like I said, he can be hard to grasp or hard to find or hard to figure out. but I just want to draw your attention to what the Catechism has to say about the Holy Spirit. And like, this is exactly where you can find him. And in paragraph 688, that's like that's just like right on the front. It says this: the church, a communion living in the faith of the apostles, which she transmits, is the place where we know the Holy Spirit blank. So what does the Holy Spirit do? Where is the Holy Spirit? In the scriptures, in the tradition, in the magisterium, in the liturgy, through its words and symbols, in which the Holy Spirit puts us into communion with Christ, in prayer, where he intercedes for us, in the charisms and ministries by which the church is built up, in the signs of apostolic and missionary life, in the witness of saints, through whom he manifests his holiness and continues to works of salvation. So if you ever want to know, like, where do I find God the Holy Spirit, this is a great list to go back to and to begin to say, yeah, okay, that makes sense. So he's the third person of the Holy Trinity. Obviously, there's God the Father, God the Son, and there's God the Holy Spirit. And an analogy most people are really familiar with is that the Holy Spirit would be considered to be like the love between the Father and the Son. So he's that thing, right? In some ways, he's intangible, right? Like the things in our life that we can't objectify with science, say. Things that are like the love between a husband and a wife. That's the best analogy that we can draw to understand how God the Holy Spirit is. So he's that love, and we don't have to over-spiritualize this, right? It's engraved into who we are as human beings from the very beginning, right? You have Adam and you have Eve, and then even after the fall, God made it so that their love has the capacity to create a human life, a new human life. So between the love between a husband and a wife, that love can be so intimate that an entire new person is made. You can think of that as the embodied way of understanding the Trinity. That's why God gave us the family as the first gift of humanity. It's beautiful. So we were created in God's image and likeness. And after the fall, you would say we retain the image, like we still have the image of God in humanity and in us, but through sin, we lost the likeness of God. And I'll get to kind of draw on that a little bit later, but that's what we lost. So Christ tells us that, you know, when he goes back to heaven, he says, it's better that I go so that the advocate may come. So Jesus himself felt like it was so important that he would go back to heaven in his body so that we would be able to receive the Holy Spirit. And that's exactly what happened. That's what happened in the church. That was the church's birthday at Pentecost. And from that, there's some different ways that the church has been able to learn, you know, what does the Holy Spirit do? What does he look like? how do we understand him? And so there's really like three points that we'll hit, right? So one is like, what is the office of the Holy Spirit? Or like, what is his role, basically? The other one is, how do we know him? Like, what names, like what nicknames do we give the Holy Spirit? And then how do we see him? Or what are the symbols, you know, that the church has given us where we can understand him? And these are all ways, like for us, very limited creatures, ways that we can sort of conceptualize the mystery that is God. God is a mystery. So we're going to hit just a few, but at the bottom of your page, what are the offices of the Holy Spirit? So like, what's his role? A few are, his role is gift. His role is guest. His role is artisan. And another role is director. And I just want to share some really cool stuff about two of those. As a gift, the Holy Spirit gives us, he allows us to participate in these things that the church would call charisms, which literally just means gift. It's just the word that means gift. So these ways that we, that other people experience God through our actions and through the things that we like, through the things that we're good at. there are ways that other people, experience and see God. So like a great example might be, if you've ever been to, if you've ever listened to like the most beautiful song that like, it just broke your heart, maybe in the best way possible. You know, that artist, you know, particularly if they're, you know, like a believer, could have this gift, right? Where God uses their skills, those things that they like, to speak to us, right? So we experience God, the Holy Spirit, like through that. and again, you could almost say, you know, the Holy Spirit is like the experience of God. So we see him in all these different ways, all the best ways of what it means to be human. But he always leads us to the gift. So all the things that are good and true and beautiful and that we love and that draw us closer to those things, to each other, to God, like that's the end game. The Holy Spirit will always draw us towards himself. So that's a way, like you can see like what his role is and what he does. Another one is really cool. Paul writes in Ephesians 2:10, he'll say, you know, you are God's handiwork. And that word, when you break it down, it's otherwise known as artwork, or he's saying like you're God's masterpiece. The word artisan, it's rooted in the Latin word, which just means art. And so the Holy Spirit he's the person of the Trinity who helps mold you. He helps form you, kind of shaping and stretching it almost like, a potter with clay, like my wife's grandpa, he was super good at, like whittling wood and forming art out of wood. So that's like a good image of how the Holy Spirit works through us, kind of forming us in these different ways, and to become those things that are beautiful, that make us fulfilled. So like those are some of the really cool things that he does. And you might be able to even look back at your own life, right? And be like, oh yeah, like I remember like this time or that time, or I know like there's these moments in my life where like I just feel like I'm at my best, and I love what I'm doing. And you know, people around are like, they're really moved by that, and they're better off because of it. Like that's the experience of God through the Holy Spirit, like just in that lived human experience. It's really cool. We're moving on to the next page if you're following along. How do we know the Holy Spirit? So like, what are some titles? What are some nicknames that we can give him, that the church would give him? I'll share a story about my favorite one, but here's a list, some titles. Paraclete, Advocate, Consoler, Counselor, Spirit of Truth, Ruah, which means breath, and Wild Goose. Has anyone heard the Wild Goose one before? Great, because that's a story that I'm going to share. It's a great story. I want to read from Paul here, just word for word, because he does a way better job of talking about these titles than I ever could. And then I'll kind of talk about this Wild Goose title. But this is what Paul says. And he's talking about freedom. And this freedom, which is it's like this ability to do what we ought. That's what freedom would be. The ability to do what's right, united, you know, with like what we desire, into something that's good. And so this is what the Holy Spirit allows us to do. And this is what Paul's saying. So he says this: when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. And all of us with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in the mirror, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, the Spirit. So what Paul is saying is, he's kind of like tipping the hat towards Moses, right? Who was unveiled with God, and had this glowing face, but you had to veil yourself, right? Between God and the Old Testament. And so he's telling us that like, we're seeing God like through the ways the Holy Spirit transforms us over time. So to the extent that we live like out of this freedom, out of these ways that are true and good and beautiful and fulfilling that lead us to God, we become more like God, that thing that was lost in sin. So we always retain the image of God, but by being transformed through the Holy Spirit, we actually begin to retain the likeness of God, which is amazing, right? And God does it through the things that we love the most and things that we like the best. And that's how the Holy Spirit works. It's so cool. But my favorite title is the wild goose. So the tradition about the wild goose, you can find the goose like icon or image on ancient artifacts, right? And so the tradition behind this title goes back to a Celtic tradition. The way it would be is that there's Mother Goose, and she would protect her children from predators. And so they saw how this goose would be like a protector, one who would ward off the things that were a threat to protect her children. But also, she was unable to be contained. So they would try and try and catch this goose, right, for lots of different purposes. And like, you can't catch it. It's like, I don't know if you've ever seen videos or you've seen someone try and catch a squirrel. It's hilarious. But you can think of it like that, like can't be caught, can't be directed, does things that you're like, I did not expect that to happen. That's why the Holy Spirit gets this nickname, because he is like mama bear, kind of like, he is a great protector of our souls, but he also can't be contained. Like, we can't box him in to this, you know, these like ideals that we set like in our minds. He always is a step ahead or a step to the side. He's always able to do these things that it's like, if we had a plan, it's like, if you've ever had the experience, you're like, wow, I'm glad that didn't go the way I planned, right? And it was way better. Like, that's how God works. Like, that's how the Holy Spirit is like the wild goose. He can't be contained. So cool. And how is he seen? Like, what are some ways that we can see him exteriorly or even interiorly? These are some symbols, right? Living water, fire, anointing, cloud, seal, the hand of God, the finger of God, and the dove. That was probably the most popular one, right? And a lot of these we see even in scripture, right? Living water, cloud of fire, seals, anointing. Anointing is the one that I would probably say is the best one to remember of any of the titles, particularly in regards to like how it makes sense with like the body and how it makes sense with the church. So what the Holy Spirit does, it's based on who he is. So those things that we got to just hit on, like what's his role? How is he known? How is he seen? Like, who is he? That all influences what the church would call like joint mission, the mission of the Holy Spirit. So like a small tangent, right? The reason that the apostolate that my wife and I run, it's called the Missionaries of the Holy Spirit in the Family. The reason it has that name is because there's couples. It's cool. There's like, I don't know, like 150 couples like right now who are going through, and about, I don't know, maybe about 200 more who are like gonna like join in. So like, there's these families that are they want to like in a sense be on mission, right? Or like live the gospel like at home. But the best way to do that is like through this, like it's through the Holy Spirit, like through these like lived experiences of God. And it happens in all these really cool practical ways that are seen in the family. And it's fruitful because of like what the church, like what I'm going to read to you about what the church teaches about his joint mission. So like I said, I don't want to just sit and read a lot, but I will read, like probably this paragraph. And then we'll talk about a couple of things about like how we share in that before we hit the break, if that sounds okay, Mark. Okay. All right. So the Holy Spirit, he's on joint mission. So if you want to go to the catechism, like those are the references, 689 and 690, like you could go in there, but I put it here for you. So you could follow along there if you want. And this is just super cool. So I'm just going to read it to you. The one whom the Father has sent into our hearts, the Spirit of His Son, is truly God. Consubstantial with the Father and the Son, the Spirit is inseparable from them in both the inner life of the Trinity and in His life of love, His gift of love for the world. In adoring the Holy Trinity, life-giving, consubstantial, and indivisible, the Church's faith also professes the distinction of person. When the Father sends His word, He always sends His breath. That's a key to remember. Like, when the Father sends His word, He always sends his ruah. That's the word of the Church, right? Or the word I shared earlier, His breath. In their joint mission, the Son and the Holy Spirit are distinct, but inseparable. To be sure, it is Christ who is seen, the visible image of the invisible God, but it is the Spirit who reveals Him. So, like, that's sort of mysterious, right? It's like we can see Christ, but God the Holy Spirit is the one with whom reveals Jesus to us. I think some really great ways of like understanding this are things like, you know, we learn about like the gifts of the Holy Spirit, for example. Like, one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is wisdom, right? One is understanding, you know? So like, maybe you've had the experience with somebody that you know, where you just, like, you might've known them before, but through maybe an experience, like time together, intimacy, and like in a conversation or like other things, like you actually know them differently. Like soldiers on a battlefield experiencing that, like that's an example. Husband and wife, like my favorite example. lots of different things. Men on a sports team, or women on a sports team. So we see Christ, but it's almost like we see Him more deeply, or like we know Him, because the Holy Spirit will He will reveal these things to us as we're more free, like as we're encountering it more. So the Church goes on to say this: Jesus Christ is anointed because the Spirit is His anointing, and everything that occurs from the Incarnation derives from this fullness. And later on, they'll say the notion of anointing suggests that there's no distance between the Son and the Spirit. Indeed, just as between the surface of the body and the anointing with oil, neither reason nor sensation recognizes any intermediary. So the contact of the Son with the Spirit is immediate, so that anyone who would make contact with the Son by faith must first encounter the oil by contact. In fact, there's no part that's not covered by the Holy Spirit. So He is He's one with the Father, and like they're talking about how they're on joint mission, but He's one with Christ. My wife, Laura, she gives me a super hard time because I don't really like lotion. So she's like, Chance, I don't really want to hold your hand right now. It's too dry. I'm like, I feel fine. But if you put on lotion, right? I don't know what it is, but every time I'm like, where does that stuff go? Like, it's gone. It's you think there should just be, you know, it should still sit there. and my hands are so dry. It's get sucked up like a sponge. But that's the image the Church is drawing, but with something more intimate, more valuable in a sense, like oil. And it's in you, right? Yeah, I don't need to say more than that. That's a great image of this joint mission that Christ, who's revealed through the Holy Spirit, that's how we can see both together. They're together. They're not separate. Really cool. Did I press that enough? They're not separate. They're together. Even when we see the Eucharist, we're not just seeing Jesus. We're seeing the Father. We're also seeing the Holy Spirit. They're together. They're always together. Always. Always. Okay. Maybe for the sake of consistency, is now a good time for a break? And then if it's, we can pick up after on some of that stuff. Okay, sweet. I'm new here for this year, so I figured I just better ask. So yeah, was it like a 5-minute break or a 10-minute break? Yeah, take your time and then we'll pick it up after. Yeah, okay, sweet.